King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard are a Narm-based psych rock band whose creativity has let them drift effortlessly between genres: metal, pop, folk, kraut rock, everything. My personal favorite is Murder of the Universe, which is just such an interesting record, and it's crazy how you are palm muting for like 20 minutes. I don't know. But yeah, I thought I could start with the first question, which was sort of about, all these different albums. Is it sort of very intentional, or is it, do you try to immerse yourself within that sort of genre beforehand, or does it sort of arrive more sporadically? I actually saw you mentioned in Papier-Mâché Dream Balloon that you were sort of shifting away from like the you sort of relied too heavily on electric guitars, and sort of you wanted to get a more acousticy sort of sound. So is that sort of for all of them, or it's just sort of a bit random?
I would say that the less eloquent way of answering it is that they all are different. And for instance, the papier-mâché one is maybe a good example because we had been making Nonagon Infinity at that time, and that was at that time a really sort of hard record to make. And I think we sort of it was one of those ones, and a lot of artists do that, this where they have an idea and they don't execute it, and they're sort of not really that happy with it, and they re-record things. And that's kind of what we did there. I think the idea was bigger than our skill set maybe when we started. And it was punishing, actually. It was a punishing record to make. And we sort of it sat maybe 50% finished, and papier-mâché was this kind of like palate cleanser. And we sort of it felt good to do something which didn't interfere with the energy of Nonagon Infinity, and to just do something that felt like a yin yang kind of thing, which we have done a lot. I'd say there's sort of versions of that for different reasons along the way. But like for me, I would say I'm often getting a read or say a temperature check on where all the other band members are at and what everyone's vibing on or what everyone's pumped to do. And I think that there are like hundreds of records which we will never make, which we would like to, which we never will because we don't have time to. So it's often about finding the thing where we can all kind of see eye to eye on and try to get the best out of everyone at the same time. It's actually like a really hard thing to do sometimes, to try and get everyone aligned, and even just to get everyone interested for long enough to make an album. And sometimes the interest starts really high, or sometimes it ends really high. But just to keep everyone focused, including myself, is I think it's every musician's like biggest challenge, actually. It's just to keep it together and keep their eyes on the prize,
I was thinking, like, 'cause there's six guys, like everyone has their own influences, inspirations, and like everyone's going to bring something different to the table when you're recording. So it's not, which is like a good thing. We actually had an artist on here a couple weeks ago, and she was just saying how great it is writing songs with other people, because you're seeing how they write songs, and then you're sort of using that. But yeah, I can imagine how, like, how everyone sort of has their thoughts and ideas about what direction they want the music to go in terms of the Kingiz sound.
Yeah, big time. That is a whole kind of universe into itself in that question or statement or whatever that it sort of is like the it is everything. It's actually what it is chemistry. And like I think that's why it feels the same when you're in when you have a group of friends, and when you get together, the group of you have this beautiful chemistry. And I think understanding it actually being quite similar to like chemistry is quite correct in terms of a band, especially when you're doing stuff where you have to improvise and play off each other and be sort of like loose and free. And it's so similar to having a conversation, and it's so similar to banter in like a group thing. It's kind of like what when a band feels right, it's actually like when you're in a group of friends who have really good banter together. And that's the chemistry that you kind of can never fully understand or fully grasp, but you can never kind of recreate it. You could play with, better musicians, or you could make yourself a better musician, and it doesn't matter. What's actually important is the sort of is the chemistry. But it's an age-old thing, but I think that the older I get, the more I value that, and it actually makes me value the friendships and everything in the band way more than ever before, and feel real grateful to get to make music with these guys.
Because it's definitely not to make you feel old. I feel old now, but you've been together for 12 plus years, long time. You guys went to uni together, a couple of you guys.
Yeah, a few of us did, yeah.
So it's just like, wow,
Cookie and I went to high school together, and
Wow.
a lot of us have known each other since we were wee laddies. So yeah, it's been a long time. I increasingly do feel old, actually, like thinking back on the band. So yeah, don't feel bad. It's good. I feel grateful to be here, actually, still doing it. So I know that it's sort of like, I know that it's really hard to hold a seat at the table in general, in this biz. So I'm just like grateful to still be at the table. It's just sometimes people listen to what I say. That's it.
Speaking of listening to what you said, the big thing earlier this year, you pulled your music off Spotify, because Daniel Ek investing in AI military drone tech. Do we need that? Not sure. But since rather than sort of ragging on Spotify, which is great, I thought sort of looking in toward Bandcamp. You guys have been using Bandcamp, and I was actually showing Alessia, like, we were having a look at the Bandcamp a couple of days ago. I was sort of just r ranting at her all the stuff, and it was actually quite cool, like how people can also comment and stuff, and sort of and I just think it's great that you're making art, and people can hate it or like it or whatever, but it you want that reaction from people. And without you don't need no one needs Spotify. We don't need Spotify. It's just sort of been taught to us. It's just advertising through, I don't know, subliminal advertising or whatever, just to like push this thing. And it's like, well,
Yeah, we're
it's sort
picking
of
around it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's sort of
sure.
taking away from what the actual music is, which is just you're just making music, and you want people to listen to it, and it's
The way it
just
should be.
So sorry, my question was like, has this sort of changed the way that you think about the future of releasing music or connecting with your fans or something? Is that sort of changed the way that you think about it, or is more just sort of a, the right thing to do, I guess, in terms of.
I think for the most part, it's the right thing to do. I feel like it also is in keeping with the way we have always like approached releasing our music as well. I mean, and to be fair, looking back on the earliest music we ever released, it wasn't on Spotify. It was on Bandcamp. We were using Bandcamp from the from I don't know 20 probably from 2012. 2012 to 2012 or something like that, when we first started pressing records, which we just kind of paid for with like money we should have been spending on rent or like whatever. We sold them on Bandcamp. Like we kind of did all that shit through Bandcamp from the beginning. So it's It's sort of it is like this platform which for us has always kind of it's always been there. We've always tried to use it as much as possible and try to find ways to kind of change and grow with it. And we do this there's like this side bootleg Gizzard account. I don't know if you know about that, where we just sort of put a lot of like live records and shit like that up. And yeah, I Bandcamp's been really, really, really good to us, and it's yeah, it couldn't be more different to the way streaming is now. And again, to make myself feel old, like it is it I feel like we have seen it completely change. We were on like we were on Apple Music. Oh, sorry, what was it even called? What was it even called? Where you would like
iTunes,
download
iTunes,
iTunes. Yeah, the start it was at the start you put your music on fucking iTunes, and we had a MySpace and shit. Like, I don't know. So I would just like shit changes. And the music industry has not stopped changing. When I was in school and like thinking about playing music, people were saying the exact same shit. Like, I mean, yeah, it's really like fucked and corrupt, and like rich people are getting richer and artists are getting ripped off. And it's actually still the same as it was like 15 years ago or 20 years ago. It's just slightly different. So I don't think that's good, but it is the case. And so it's feel like as an artist, if you can try your best to navigate the rocky seas, and I don't really want to be a business person or something like that, but I do desperately not want to get ripped off. And I think that has been like quite central to Giz, like starting record labels and doing things as sort of independently as we can along the way, and trying to remember that it is such an easy industry to just get completely ripped. So yeah, just trying to have your eyes on a swivel out there. Cool.
100%. The way you guys have developed such a diverse discography, I mean, I'm not as familiar with it as Billy is, clearly, but it's inspiring, right? To young musicians, to young people in Australia and around the world as well. Especially with the current state of music, as you were just talking about, how everything can be so pigeonholed and genre defining, right? You can only make it if you're a certain musician doing a certain thing. But I mean, you guys, by taking your music off Spotify as well, but just being the people that you are, have proved that that's not really the case, right? You can just be yourself and just put your music out there and people will like it, right? And how has being Australian played into your art and creating music and playing for the Australian community played into or influenced how you create your music?
I would say like this is that I could I feel like I could answer that in so many different ways and probably write an essay on that. And I feel like even as I speak now, my brain is just going ding 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 across these different things. I feel like a few things I'm thinking of. One thing that helped us was that especially we sort of came up in Geelong for the most part, and we were kind of playing just like two pubs down there over and over again. And in a way, it was a beautiful actual beautiful safe bubble where we could kind of, and I'm kind of talking about bands that preceded King Gizzard as well, and we played a lot, we played a lot, and we experimented pretty deeply, and no one was paying attention, but that was kind of the point. And I mean, that was like quite a helpful and beautiful thing. And I feel like when we sort of all moved to Melbourne and started doing that thing, we sort of felt like we had a bit of road under our belt, and we'd done a little bit of, we sort of knew the ropes a little bit before we dived into the big bad seas. And then we started driving up to Sydney, and we started driving over to Adelaide in the station wagon, and stuff like that. And I feel like we were able to sort of like beautifully do the whole thing one like tiny baby step at a time. And
Yeah.
Australia is quite good for that. And I think in some ways the isolation helps, and the smaller population kind of helps, and it is quite colloquial and it is quite sort of local, and I don't know, it's like low key as well. Like Australians are low key, no one
Yeah.
takes themselves too seriously. It just sort of, you just kind of, if you love it, you do it. You don't bang on about it too much. Just go and see the thing,
Yeah.
and so I feel like we are very much still those people. And then, touring like mostly internationally now, I don't know. I feel like when we're overseas, people are just like, "Wow, you guys are like aggressively Australian." I think we just still very much are country kids. And we've probably taken the rural Aussie thing out as far as it really can go. Which is like quite a beautiful thing, I think.
Yeah, a hundred
Yeah.
percent.
Yeah. And I had like several other sparks firing in my brain before, and now I don't know what they were anymore.
That's all right.
I had a question. I was doing some, well, one of my mates actually reminded me of it, but bit of a different question. A matter of legend, really.
Oh my
The
God.
Holy Explorer. The guitar that was it was you used on the 2019 album Infest the Rat's Nest, and more. I saw, yeah, as well, I'm sure.
Yep.
But it tragically got broken on tour, and this morning I actually saw a petition to get one of the Jonas Brothers, because they have one, to give it to you. Do you, yay or nay, you reckon?
Hey, I'd take one. I'd take one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the guitar was it was actually crushed along with a few of our other guitars,
What?
in a really old lift in Spain, a chain operated lift. And basically what happened was the guitars were in a tall case, three of them in the same tall case, so sort of standing up,
Yeah.
I guess, in like a road case. And the road case was too tall for this lift, and as it came up, I mean, it wasn't too tall for this lift, it was stacked in the wrong place in the lift. And as it came up, this the flights of what do we call them, up the levels, it actually got caught on the lip of a one of the floors of the second or the third level or something, and it the The old lifts, they don't have a mechanism to just automatically stop. They just keep going. And so it just got sandwiched. And all three of them was completely crushed. And so anyway, we had to sort of just like find a music store with our show. We were loading in for a show. So we had to go find a music store and made it all happen and everything. But yeah, this guitar was like one of my favorites ever. But Rick Stewart in Melbourne, our amazing luthier, built a brand new neck. It actually was completely, the neck itself was actually unfixable. It was completely splintered, shattered into like a million pieces, but
Oh my God.
the body got saved, and he built a new neck from scratch. So that guitar has been out on tour again.
Oh,
It's different.
yay.
It's like he built it the same, but it's different. He did an amazing job, and it's still awesome, but it's almost like, when people have like a lung transplant or something, and they become a different person. So it's just a different,
The
it's different.
soul's
And it's
gone.
I still love
It's
it.
different.
I still love it. And it's not worse, but it's different. But it lives on. Frankenstein.
Wow, that's so crazy. I have a similar story about an instrument breaking. My friend just laughed at me in the corner of the room.
It's a really nice tee up. Please.
Is because I almost wasn't going to include it because I was like, oh, I'm not going to talk about it. I'll talk about it now. So, okay, I was doing this music assignment where I had to make like a it was a game design assignment, and I was using my dad's like a synth geek essentially, and I was using DeepMind and I was loving it, but I was like, oh, I need something else to it. And then I remembered we had a 2002 model Korg Micro Korg just sitting there.
Sick.
And I was like, oh my God, perfect. So I was like sitting on my living room floor and I was like in the zone. I had like my water bottle. I was like a spread, everything was spread out. And I was just like, I was, it was happening. I was making this awesome bass line. And then it like dies, the battery runs out. So I'm like, oh, no problem. I'll just go like plug it in. Like it's all good. I go to the room and I get a cord. I plug it in and I keep using it. And after maybe like 2 minutes, I hear like, and it like cuts out and everything just like stops. The lights turn off. And then I smell like burning plastic, right? And then I'm like freaking out because it's my dad's synth and I've just like broken it. And so I go on Reddit and I'm like, what happened to my Korg? This happened. I did this, 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 and this. And turns out I used the wrong like plug-in, like I used the wrong adapter and I fried it.
Oh
I
no.
literally fried it. And that specific model is like unfixable as well. So
Wow.
so do you have any tips?
Sorry,
Yeah, is what
Dad.
I'm saying.
Sorry, Dad. That's
to
my
fix
tip.
the unfixable.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But in my project, you can actually hear the part where the synth dies out too. So I guess it
I
kind
love
of
that.
works
That's
for
beautiful.
something.
That's
Yeah.
beautiful. Yeah.
That was my story.
Yep. We've had it with our sort of like Euro rack synth kind of stuff that we do. We occasionally have like tiny little fires inside there, and it's yeah,
Yeah.
it's real. It's real. As we got a high voltage up there. It's brutal.
Yeah, far out. Yeah, that was my story. Oh, fun question. Okay, if you found yourself somehow in an interstellar like situation where you had to leave like all your friends and family behind and fly into space and the usual, which instrument would you bring to space and why?
Oh, that is so hard. I probably would bring my Flying Samurai. It's like it is my favorite electric guitar.
Or the Yamaha?
The
No.
Yamaha. I
Or
would
the
have
Blue
to
Boy?
the
Yeah,
blue, yeah, the blue. It's
yeah.
a
Did not.
1968 Yamaha Flying Samurai.
Yeah. Right.
It's fucked, actually. It's so old and cooked, and
Oh.
but it just does the thing. I know how to work it, and I like the way it feels in my hands. And everyone
Yeah.
else who picks it up is like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you play this guitar. This guitar is so bent and so shit." But I just love it. I know it, and it's a part of me. But occasionally I've not brought it on tour because it's very temperamental, breaks all the time.
Yeah,
It's got
far
pitch intonation problems, got the works. And occasionally I bring it and I always regret it. So now I just always it always comes with me now. I
Oh
just
yeah, of
I've
course. Yeah.
committed to it.
Of
I've committed. Yeah.
course. I had one more question, but it's not really a question. It's I was gonna take my pants off and show you my King Gizzard tattoo.
Please do. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Is it
Sick.
are we is it PG or is
It
it
is
like
PG, don't
MA?
worry, don't
Okay, it's
worry.
PG. Yes, right.
Okay.
Somehow
I'm standing on the chair, dude.
Oh my God.
See, unless she has no help either, she's your
Nah, this is all you, actually.
okay, here we
This is
go.
great. This is
Yeah, I'm
great.
like
Yep.
okay, I'm strung
Bang
up
on. Just
mate,
like
half
tilt.
naked.
You can like tilt the
No, I don't want to stand. I'm gonna stand up on a chair. All right, look at this.
camera.
Okay.
Yo.
I'm not even wearing pants, dude. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Oh,
Right.
can we get a zoom in on that?
Yeah, can we? Unless he's not helping, dude.
Oh, is it?
And
Oh,
I'm sitting.
it's the
I'm on a
12 bar
rotating
bruise
chair.
monster guy. Is
Yeah,
that what everyone
dude.
does?
Yeah,
Yes.
OG one.
I'm screenshotting that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love
Damn.
that.
Hello. Now I'm just pantsless in the studio, baby.
Yeah.
That's
Sounds
community
done.
radio for you,
Well,
so.
that's the first time I've had that happen to me in an interview, so that's very cool. Thanks,
Sick.
Billy.
Yeah. No worries.
Okay, well, thanks so much for being with us.
Yep.
Of course.
Thank
Yeah,
you for
cheers. Thanks for
everything.
having me.